good to be with you today. And so kids, are you all out of school now? You don't have to do any schoolwork at home anymore? Does that feel great? Woohoo! The whole summer is in front of you. My daughter said she was really looking forward to the 2 months of summer. She wasn't anticipating it being 5 months of the kids being at home. It's a little bit overwhelming. Well, maybe you'll get to go on a little bit of a vacation this summer and do some fun things around your home. Our family's taking a staycation, and we plan to do some things in our neighborhood and in Calgary. Do you know what a staycation is? Kids, you know what a staycation is? It's when you take a vacation, but you don't leave. You just stay at home. And we're going to do that at our lake and do some little day trips and have some fun. I hope that you have a wonderful summer this year. And I look forward to seeing all of the kids really soon. This morning, as I said, we are going to work from a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read that for you. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. I think I'm back wired up now. As Lori and I have thought about these final days, these final words that we have opportunity to share together, the final words that we would share with you involve the call of faithfulness that I think God is asking each one of us to consider. You might be familiar with the name Friedrich Nietzsche. And Friedrich Nietzsche was a German philosopher at the latter part of the 19th century. He was well known for his scathing attack on Christian faith and morality. But that doesn't mean that he didn't know something about truth. Did you know that even people who radically oppose God often recognize truth? Why? Because all truth is God's truth. Nietzsche once said that what we need if we want to have a meaningful life is a long obedience in the same direction. Of course, the question that we're trying to answer is, who and what will we obey? As followers of Jesus, we're committed to a long obedience in the same direction. We are always traveling in the direction of God. Obedience and faithfulness belong to that journey. It is impossible to be disobedient, rebellious, and still be faithful. Lori and I have tried our very best to be faithful to the call that God has placed on our lives to serve Bonavista Church. For us, it has been a long obedience in the same direction. That sense of being a long obedience in the same direction doesn't give much room for detours, side trips, dead ends. Some practice what I have called a butterfly faith. They flip from one thing to another, gathering up a little of this and a little of that wherever they land. But they wouldn't know a long obedience in the same direction if it bit them. They're always looking for a little something more, something different, something enticing, never satisfied. The road of faithfulness is not well paved, it's not well lit, and it's not easy. Faithfulness means that you stand at your post in the middle of the rain. Laurie and I were talking about faithfulness this week, and she said that no one really notices faithfulness until something critical, something difficult comes along. Paul is praying this prayer because the Corinthian church is facing a serious crisis. Paul planted and launched this church in Corinth, and it has become now a large and significant church in the body of believers, but it's still young and it's still immature. Paul has been their teacher, their mentor, and their pastor. He's poured out his heart to this congregation, but now he's heard that there is trouble in this body. And so he writes this letter, 1 Corinthians, from the town of Ephesus. But what is the trouble? There are those in the Corinthian church who are questioning Paul's leadership. They're kind of elbowing him out of the way so that they can get more of the front attention, so that their teaching can get priority. They're challenging his role. And Paul, in the distance, has had a hard time fighting that. It's hard for him to hear. He's invested his life in these people, and now he's facing this trouble, and he's not able to be there to defend himself. Why is it that the pastors like Paul and leaders like those who followed him were so often the target of judgment, of hard critique? Well, it's because pastors tend to be up front. They're in the public eye. Every move they make is seen. Leadership means that a person is taking responsibility for other people. There's power. There's authority involved. You can't get anything done if you don't have any power or authority. But when you have power and authority, then it immediately brings you into question. People are nervous about people having power and authority. But as parents, you have some power and authority. Otherwise, your kids won't do what you want them to do. People want great leaders. You hear it all the time. What we need is great leadership. We have campaigns and elections so that we can choose a good leader. But sometimes, I want you to hear this, but sometimes we want good leadership, but we're not prepared to practice good followership. We don't like doing what someone else asks us to do. You and I live in volatile times. We have police officers that seem to be operating sometimes outside of the law, and people are angry, furious. COVID-19 has raised all kinds of issues. Some say that we need to all wear masks, and others declare that if they had to wear a mask, it's an infringement of their rights, and it's become a police state. We have pastors that have misappropriated funds or who have committed adultery, who have been abusive to their staff. We have leaders who've laid down their lives for the cause of Christ and continue to live sacrificially. You see, there's problems through it all. The problem is that we're all people. If we'd stop being people, we wouldn't have so much trouble. Well, Paul goes off on a little rant here. I paraphrase a little bit, but it's like this. I don't care if you judge me or a court judges me. I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear. That doesn't make me innocent. Only God can judge and determine if I am guilty or innocent. We aren't supposed to judge until the appointed time, and that time won't come until Jesus comes. And then when he comes, he'll expose what is really going on in our hearts, and each of us will hear from God. Well, does this mean that Paul thought he was perfect, that no one could challenge him, that he was above everybody else, that he was always right? It's not what Paul's saying at all. A good pastor invites different perspectives, different points of view. A good pastor knows that they often fail, they make mistakes, and they know how to seek forgiveness. But a good pastor is also faithful. And a good pastor teaches their people to be faithful. And some people are divisive, and some people are jealous, and some people are just plain sinful. I've made mistakes. I've done wrong. I've been wrong. I've said things and I've done things that have not been honoring to God, and And you know about many of them. Maybe you've even experienced with me. And I'm aware of those things. And I've done all I can to apologize and to make things right. I've been corrected and I've been challenged, and most of the time that has borne good fruit in my life. Some of you may have even wondered at times about something I've said, if it was biblically sound. When you raise it with me, I've enjoyed it because it's always brought good conversation. And as a result of those conversations, I've learned to communicate more effectively, more clearly. I love that about you. That together we've learned how to walk this road together. But I also know what it is to be harshly judged. Many years ago, a person that I knew well walked into my study, sat down, opened three sheets of paper, and read to me a long list of the ways in which they felt I was wrong, that I was not the pastor I should be. That was as close a day as had ever come to me leaving ministry. I had been judged. I was not challenged, and I was not corrected. I was judged. If you have something to say to your future pastor, let me advise you, don't write down a long list. Come and say it to him with an open heart. Say it with a spirit of grace. They made it very clear to me that I wasn't good enough. Well, I went and shared it with a few friends and with Lori, people who I trusted to not only hear me, but tell me the truth back, not just say what I wanted to hear. And they were able to say to me that the accusations had no real validity and advised me to disregard what had been done. I have to say that what hurt most was that my motives were twisted so that it was made to appear that I was biblically unsound, that I was self-centered and concerned, and that I'd basically sold out the gospel. That's what Paul was facing. Paul's response was not that he was not interested in their judgment. Paul's response was that he was not interested in their judgment because at the end of the day, he was not answerable to them. He was a servant of Christ. What Paul uses here is a term that we all understand. He was a household steward. His job was to look after everything in the home for the master. So for Paul, it didn't matter what all the gossips in the household had to say about him. What mattered to him was what the master thought about what he had done and who he was. And what Paul knew was what the master thought of him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Paul knew that he'd been faithful to what God had called him to do. That's the meaning of faithful. Sometimes we think faithful means just simply not quitting, refusing to quit. But faithful is to do what God has called you to do and not quit. That's what Paul is saying to these Corinthians. I've been faithful to do what God has called me to do. I didn't quit even when the going got tough. I continued to be a steward, the servant, the one who did exactly what God has asked me to do. I remember it clearly. We'd been at a Bonavista church for about 10 years. It had been a challenging few years. Lori walked alongside of me doing all kinds of ministry, filling the gaps and provided major leadership in some of our areas of ministry here. We were learning what it took to be a pastor. I was learning to preach, learning to lead, learning to minister, learning to care for people in all kinds of unpredictable crises. And underneath it all, I wanted everyone to be happy. I wanted everyone to be on board. I wanted to run smooth. But I was discovering that people-pleasing was turning into a disaster. Paul knew that. He knew that he couldn't make these Corinthians happy no matter what he did. I took a 2-week retreat course with Eugene Peterson in California, and I will never forget what he said to us as a group. He said this: you answer to God first. Your authority comes from Him, not your congregation. Now, some people, pastors, have used that as kind of an out. They declare that so that they can force their people to do what they want. They've forgotten the great trouble, challenge that brings when you realize that it is to God that you answer, that I'm actually going to answer to Him. His call on me is much different than anything you could ever bring to me. Well, that meant I also had to stop looking to this congregation for my affirmation. The measure was not how good the sermon was or how many people started to attend or how large the budget was or how many conferences I spoke at. The measure was my faithfulness to what God called me to do. And God very clearly called me to be the shepherd pastor of Bona Vista Church. I have had plenty of people tell me over the years that I needed to be something else. More than that, bigger than that, become the corporate leader. But that's not what God called me to do. I had to be faithful to Him no matter what temptations come my way, or what people thought I should do, or what people thought I should be. And Lori and I have tried our level best to be obedient to that call. There have been times when I actually fell to my knees pleading with God to release us, to call us somewhere else, but He never did it. Until now. And now we feel released. But we need you to know that we feel so blessed that even when we wanted to be released, God kept us here. Because it was in this place with you that we have found and made our home. And it is with you that you have taught us the joy of faithfulness. Faithfulness kept Paul steady and strong in the face of adversity. When the Corinthians were questioning the very character of Paul, he simply went back to his faithfulness. He essentially told the Corinthians, "You question my character. You question my authority to lead. You question my motives. All I ask you to do is to look at my faithfulness. Look at my record. Have I lived out faithfulness before God and faithfulness before you?" I think what Paul was trying to say to these Corinthians was, "Do you guys even know me? Haven't you seen me live out my life of Christ before you? And now you question who I am? Let my record of faithfulness speak for me." You see, the thing is, faithfulness and integrity go together. You can't take faithfulness away from integrity. Integrity says, "I've done what I said I would do. I've been faithful to my calling." That's why Paul could say his conscience was clear. His faithfulness was evidence of his integrity. They couldn't stand up to his integrity. Paul was accountable to God to carry out the mystery of the gospel, and he had faithfully preached the full message of the gospel so that the mystery had slowly faded away. The mystery of God's love for us, the mystery of Jesus as God's Son, the mystery of how Jesus could lay down His life on the cross so that we could have forgiveness, the mystery of the resurrection. Paul was accountable for this message, and he had been faithful in delivering that message no matter what. That's what every congregation needs. The mystery of the gospel explained in such a way that it touches the heart and moves the soul and brings about spiritual transformation. To be accountable for the mysteries of God is to believe that Jesus can and does change lives by the power of His Spirit. We do not hold back. We believe that Jesus turns the darkness today.
takes the broken and the wounded and lost lives and brings them healing, that the miracle of spiritual rebirth can and continues to happen, and that you are the evidence of that miracle. And it is all because of the faithfulness of our God. Well, faithfulness is revealed in crises. Unfaithfulness is also revealed in crises. The unfaithful in Corinth turned on their pastor, Paul. Marriages only work if both people are faithful to each other. Congregations can only be healthy if the pastor and the people are faithful to each other. Unfaithfulness breaks churches apart. I've been around for a long time now, and I have seen so many churches break down because of some form of unfaithfulness in the congregation. Paul knew it. And so he fights with all of his power to draw the people back to a spirit of faithfulness. He knows it's the only way the church will be able to be strong and healthy. We've seen many crises in the life of Bona Vista Church. The building was set on fire. We faced a huge flood that ruined the entire basement of the church. We've lost people to disease and to death that have devastated us. We have seen some of our key leaders fall into sin and damage the reputation of the church. We've seen marriages and relationships ruined, and we've seen others restored. We've seen people who choose to worship in another church with other people. We've been attacked from within by those who desired to do harm to his body of believers. We have seen people taken from a life of utter despair and hopelessness to a new life in Christ. We've cried through farewells, and we've celebrated in new births. All of these have had their own kind of crisis attached to them. And now we are in this pandemic of the coronavirus and a major leadership change. Lori and I are both proud of the way you are living out your faithfulness. You are faithfully calling and connecting with one another, taking care of each other. Frankly, it's so easy to just give up and not bother. It's just too much work. So stay faithful. Your faithful financial support of Bona Vista has been absolutely amazing in the middle of this pandemic. People have lost their jobs and others have been cut back, and all of us live in uncertainty about the future, and yet you have faithfully given. It has been a leadership transition crisis, and yet you have been faithful to God, faithful to one another, and faithful to Bona Vista Church. Some of you are wondering this morning what lies ahead for Bona Vista. Some might even be wondering this morning, well, you know, everything's kind of in change, and I've been feeling a little restless. Maybe it's time for us to change churches. We don't like crises. So we try to get around them, maybe avoid them, maybe just duck out. I want you to remember that the goal of the Christian life has never been to find the greatest level of comfort and ease, to be able to avoid the challenges of life. Faithfulness is our calling. We are asking you to continue to live in faithfulness. Crisis gives faithfulness a chance to go to work. Faithfulness is evidence of God at work in you. So stay faithful. The lives of the faithful show what faith can do. Hebrews 11 says that faith can build an ark like Noah. Faith can follow God on a life journey like Abraham. Faith can endure the suffering for the sake of Christ like Moses did. Faith goes through the deep water like the children of Israel did. Faith enabled Peter to walk on water. Everything is possible for those who follow Jesus, who believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The faithful continue to please God. And so this morning, we say this prayer for you. As servants of Christ, you've been entrusted with the mysteries of God. Now you must prove yourself faithful to that calling. Don't judge one another. Don't twist someone else's motives to suit your own. Stay faithful. Live lives of integrity. Love on your future pastor. And be faithful in your support and encouragement. God will take care of any judging that needs to be done. And so we pray against any fear, against any apprehension of what is to come. We pray that we will trust in God's great faithfulness no matter what crises you might face. For great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen.